So springtime is Bach time. And it's not quite spring, but we're being optimistic here. And it's cold outside.
Actually,
but
freezing.
Yeah, we're hoping it's going to warm up, basically. And, you know, Bach is a German style, but I think a lot of people don't know is that a lot of the larger American breweries, things that we think about brewing, sort of the light lager style, did at one point brew some pretty flavorful Bachs. And then at some point, maybe they were sort of dumbed down a little bit. But, you know, these were German brewers predominantly. Coming across, and not only do they brew Pilsner, but often they brewed Bock beers, and often as seasonals in the spring. So I've got here a little reference. This is Designing Great Beers by Ray Daniels, and he says, the earliest reference to Bock in America I've seen comes from 1852. In this year, Best and Company, which later became Pabst, introduced their seasonal Bock beer on the 4th of July. The ad they ran for the occasion explained little about the character of the beer, except one note that said it was brewed according to Munich fashion. The introduction of the product for the big American holiday was probably driven more by patriotism than by business sense. And by 1860, the company was releasing Bock beer in February and March, which today is considered to be the traditional season for Bock. And it goes on to talk about how post-prohibition Bock sort of got more and more bland, and says by 1970, the vast majority of Bock produced in the United States was virtually identical in formulation and taste to the adjunct lagers that were the flagship products of every brewery. We can be thankful that American craft brewers have rescued the style and restored it to its former glory. So
that was nice.
It was good.
Thank you.
Right. So with that in mind, the first one that we tasted is a new seasonal release from the Leinenkugel Brewery. Now, the question is this more like, it's called the 1888 Bock, but is it really going to be more like an 1888 Bock or more like a 1970s Bock?
I'll be honest, I was not around for either, so I...
Right. But you know what I mean? Is it going to be traditional, darker, full-bodied German, or is it going to be more of just sort of a lighter, you know, golden Bock?
Coincidentally enough, we have a clip to find out.
Oh, good. We tasted it.
When we come back.
No, we're not going to come back. We're just going to go right to it. Here's our tasting of the Leine's 1888 Bock.
All right, so we're reviewing Leinenkugel's 1888 Bock.
Correct.
Why do we always review Leinenkugel's? And why
now,
are we reviewing?
Now, Kyle accused me
why
of.
Why do we always review like 50% beers that we want to be bad?
I don't think we want. Do you want it to be bad? I would love if it was great.
Well, it's because you love them.
I know.
Actually, we brought, up for different reasons.
We do bring up Leine's a lot.
Yeah.
And we brought up a lot of their beers, like a syrup class beer, you know, kind of as we call them, like where they're just throwing in syrup in them, but. I think it's the largest brewery in Wisconsin that you could make an argument is a craft brewery.
What about
whether or not it's a craft brewery is debatable. Yes, New Glarus is approaching their numbers in the state.
But true, they do push out of the state.
But whether or not their craft beer is debatable. But I think some of their beer probably could be classified as craft beer. But the reason we're doing this, if you will recall, we brought up previously that when I asked Mr. Leinenkugel, who now works for the state of Wisconsin, about the direction his brewery was heading, the syrup beers that we refer to quite a lot, he, sort of in defense of his brewery, said that they were coming out with a nut brown and reintroducing the 1888 Bock. And at the time, I thought that sounded great. Like, all right, getting some real craft beers here. And then we tried the nut brown.
And they're 0-for-1.
And they're 0-for-1. So I figured I had to give them the benefit of the doubt and try the 1888 Bock. But we should say, I think there is a bit of a difference between sort of the classic Americanized pre-prohibition Bock and the Bocks of Germany. I'm assuming this will be a little bit lighter.
Is this going to be more Americana?
More of an Americana beer, but what does it say, John?
It says, blending dark and pale roasted malted barley and select hops. 1888, they selected them.
They did, hand-selected.
No, it doesn't say hand-selected.
Oh, okay.
Probably a machine.
Cool.
Or like a buyer.
Maybe a buyer.
Said, like, I choose
those. Are the cheapest. We'll probably do it right.
No. I mean, we're jumping to it.
Yeah, we are. Okay. So, blending dark and pale roasted malted barley and select hops, 1888 Bock is aged longer to create a robust Bock with a thick, creamy head.
Nice. We'll see how that holds up. And I will tell you, John, you don't need that bottle opener.
Oh, right.
I mean, you can use it if you want.
I would do it. It gives a better sound clip.
Yeah.
All right. Nice.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Shake it up a little bit. All right.
Sounded like it's going to have a nice head.
We'll see. Those appear to have a nice creamy head.
It does. Yeah. It's pretty good. That's gonna be a good one. That's got a real nice creamy head.
That was creamy. And dark.
Yeah, actually, it's much darker than I kind of expected. I kind of expected it to be a little bit on the lighter side, but it looks like a Bock. What's the smell? It smells pretty light.
Yeah.
It smells like the Oktoberfest.
I almost smell apple. Is that right?
It's a little citrus. It could be, I mean, I'm assuming it's American hops. Apple's not a citrus fruit.
A little fruity. I was wondering why you were saying citrus.
All right, cool. Yep.
I also have the one that's like...
mostly head.
Yeah.
2 inches of head, so like it's... Oh, you're not getting any of the malt.
Yeah, I should elaborate on the color. It's a pretty dark amber. A pretty standard Bock. I guess I respect a Bock to look.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
All right. Should we taste it? Cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers.
Okay.
Sweet.
It is on the sweet side, no. Which, I mean, Bocks typically are, but yeah, even for a Bock.
Even for a Bock, though.
Sweet side.
I think...
It's thin, though. Like, it just kind of dissipates and is...
sweet, but not... Sweet, but not...
Not much body.
Bodied.
Yeah.
You know. Which...
I think combining the fact that it is sweet and it's a lighter body, I have a feeling I would sip this beer a little faster than what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I would probably get sick of it faster. The sweetness is a little high.
It's not bad, though.
I mean, it's not bad.
No, it's not bad.
The closest thing this reminds me of, and I kind of said it with the smell, is the Oktoberfest. A little bit more of a caramel note, a little bit more of a roasted note, but tastes like the Oktoberfest, which just to me is a pretty good session beer. A little impressed. It beats the
nut brown.
Yeah, nut brown. I mean, they probably hadn't invented Torini syrup in 1888, so they couldn't really add any to the beer yet, but...
It's not bad. It's just, it's really thin. It just kind of goes down water.
You know. Yeah, it's just a very light-bodied Bock. But... It's about as Bock could expect from them. I mean, it seems pretty typical, like the Riesling Co. used to make, as opposed to the syrupy ones they've been making recently. Which is good. It does kind of taste like if you doppled this, it would be their big butt.
Mm.
Doppelbock. You know, it's a pretty similar character, just...
I get you.
Mellowed.
That would be a cool side-by-side tasting.
Yeah, actually would.
I should do that.
When does that come out? March, I suppose, or February, yeah.
Any last thoughts? Are we going to give them one for one?
I give them one for two. Yeah, it's, not bad. It's about, if you're optimistic about a Leinenkugel Bock, it's about what it tastes like. It's a little on the light side.
Yeah.
A little thin, but it's, you know, I can't remember what the price point was for a six-pack, but I'm sure it's pretty cheap. And go for it.
It's a sessionable Bock.
Yeah, definitely a sessionable Bock.
Which, there aren't that many out there, no. I feel like.
Yeah, that's true.
It'd be nice.
All right, that was the Leinenkugel 1888 Bock. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Yeah, had some thoughts? It said that they claimed that it was robust, thick, with a thick, creamy head. Robust with a thick, creamy head. Does that hold up to that description?
No. To a point. It poured a thick, creamy head.
Yeah.
But it didn't retain that head.
Yeah, I kind of lost it. And was it robust?
I thought it was thin.
I'd say it wasn't so much a thick, creamy head as just a large amount of head. But it was a very thin head. You know what I mean?
It was
like,
very airy,
kind of fizzed
very airy.
Down.
I mean, it was large, and it fizzed out a little bit faster than.
Yeah,
I would say based on the descriptions, it's definitely closer to the 1970s.
1970s Bock as opposed to the.
Yeah.
As opposed to the 1888 Bock?
Just because it was so thin. It wasn't really that roasty. It wasn't really that full-bodied. Yeah. But like we said, you know, I think we all were in agreement that it was a sessionable beer.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, it seems like it tasted like and I haven't actually homebrewed any Bocks, but it tasted kind of like they maybe took a few shortcuts here and there instead of using, you know, a traditional Bocks have lots and lots of these sort of bodybuilding malts like Munich malt and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My assumption would be this is more lighter malts and then kind of crystal on top of that. So it gets the color, gets some of the sweetness, but not as much of that big, thick body that sometimes you get with Bock. But that having been said, it was pretty good.
You said bodybuilding malts.
Yes.
And then you said Munich. So now I have this image of a giant German weightlifter drinking a...
David Hasselhoff.
David Hasselhoff drinking a pint.
Yes. Yes.
I just think it's refreshing to see Liney's doing something not...
Not a wheat not beer fruit, with syrup in it.
Not syrupy.
And yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of the last...
After the letdown of the Fireside Nut Brown, which was, as we determined, Nutter Butter in a bottle.
Yeah. I mean,
that was a bad beer.
Yeah.
I've heard that they have a special APA out.
I heard that, too, that they were coming out with a new... My older brother actually said he went through the Chippewa Falls Brew Tour a week ago or something, and they had mentioned that they're coming out with a new beer, and I said, not the Bock. And he said, oh, no, not the Bock, something else. I said, what was it? And he's like, I don't remember.
I've heard...
And I looked on their website, and I couldn't find anything, so...
A friend
might be
told me last night he had it.
Was it a Big Eddie?
It was an American
series?
Style. It was, I don't know, the bartender, this was in like Kenosha or something.
Okay.
Like, the bartender told him it was like a new special Liney's.
Huh.
He said it was very much like an American style pale ale, but more amber. So it's probably, you know.
If it's an ale, American it's got to be amber. One of the Big Eddie series because they make the ales down in Milwaukee at the 10th Street Brewery. But it's very interesting. I'd to try it.
It'd be interesting to taste.
Yeah. But, yeah, like I said, this beer was all right. It was a good sessionable, you know, kind of a little on the lighter side, but that's kind of what you'd expect from Line and Cougar. But it is, I was trying to think the last time they came out with a new beer that wasn't a beer that had artificial flavoring in it.
Mm-hmm.
They had Berry Vice, Apple Spice, Summer Shandy, Sunset Wheat, Nut Brown. All of them have like artificial flavorings in them. So this is the first one, and it wasn't a new recipe. Supposedly it was the original 1888 recipe that they've just started making again. But I'm glad to see them doing it.
Yeah.
Much better direction. Hopefully they keep
in that direction.
Yeah, keep doing stuff like that. But after that, we said to keep going on the Wisconsin Box with the Doppelbock from Viking Brewery up in Dallas, Wisconsin. So unless you guys have any more thoughts on the Liney Kugels, we'll just go to the Viking clip. You guys good?
Hit it.
I'm good.
Sweet. Okay. Here we go.
So now I've got the Viking Doppelbock. The
Premium Doppelbock. Invader.
Invader Premium Doppelbock. And this is one our friend Jeff Glazer gave to us during our Oktoberfest tasting. So it's at least that old. It's not fresh. But I think he just put it in the cellar. I don't think it's that old. But I guess we don't know. Is there any indication on the bottle top?
Nope. However, here's what they have to say about the Invader Viking. It's a premium Doppelbock. And that is it.
Nice.
So,
I don't know what more you need to have to say there.
No, there's... I don't know. This
Viking
is.
With the distinctive...
Foil.
Yeah, foil top, which apparently they absolutely love. I think it's cool. I mean, it just stand out on the shelf.
Sure.
It's a stubbier bottle, I think, than standard.
Can you get...
I like the packaging.
Their beers other than those 9-packs?
I believe there's some 4-packs normally, but I don't recall. I've seen them, you know, Riley's and stuff have single bottles.
Yeah. I've seen single bottles, but I've never seen the variety 9-packs.
I'm sure. I think they sell them in 4-packs as well.
9-packs?
Yeah.
Does it come in like a 3x3?
Mm-hmm.
That is weird.
They like squares.
Yeah, but I mean, on top of... Well, I guess their bottles are fatter. So if you go 3 wide on this, it might be the equivalent of 4 wide of
something else.
Other beer. I'm just thinking, like, how does that fit into a normal shelf? Because, like, most markets have, like...
Probably awkwardly.
Yeah, probably awkwardly. That's probably why you don't see a lot of their beer.
I know you can get this stuff... I don't know this one exactly, but I'm almost positive I've seen this individual bottle.
Yeah, I've seen, like I said, I know Riley says a lot of their stuff in individual bottles. And the only Viking beer I've ever had is at the Great Taste of Midwest. We met them briefly, kind of the bizarro Dan and Deb Carey
duo
couple from Dallas, Wisconsin.
We did get the 9-pack once.
Yeah, how was that?
It's interesting. They have some really... reasonable beers. Some, you know, then they do like a lime lager, you know.
A lime twist.
And,
yeah, who knows?
Stuff like that.
Well, yeah, why would they
do this? It's kind of a weird spectrum. And especially after we talked to them, you know, they said they like the dark side, you know.
Yeah, they like the dark beers, they said, yeah.
It's kind of confused. But some of their darker beers are pretty nice, so yes.
And you haven't had the Doppelbock that wasn't in there?
You know, I think we split it here. And I think Jamie and Peter had the Doppelbock.
Okay. Well, then here we go. This one does require a bottle opener.
I don't think it does.
It is a twist? Oh, well, we use it anyway.
It's more fun.
It is more fun.
I talked over the sound. We'll just edit the line in Google's sound, but...
Into that.
If there's tinfoil in your beer, it's... the bike one's fault.
I'm going to press.
Pretty similar color, too.
It's very similar color to the line in Google Bach. Maybe even a shade lighter, but sort of like... cloudier, not as...
What is the alcohol in this one?
We will find
did it.
Well, if the last one was 5.2, this is a Doppelbach, this should be 10.4?
No.
Is that how it works?
Not quite.
That would explain why my quad is 29% alcohol.
Yeah.
By your math, I don't think so.
This one does not say.
Sweet. They probably don't know.
I'm sure they know how you got it. They probably have the same hydrometer as us.
Yeah.
It smells.
Yeah, this is almost a shade lighter than the Heinz Bock, but cloudy.
I think it's a little more, yeah, it's cloudier. Not quite as golden, but definitely lighter.
Much stronger smell. Wow.
Yeah.
Sweet malt.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Coming through. Mmm.
Yeah, that's not really nice. Tasty. Cheers.
Cheers on that.
Kyle jumped the gun.
I had my lips
the second
it.
Time you jumped the gun.
I didn't jump the first time.
I saw you.
No, I did it.
Mmm.
Ooh.
Much more full bodied.
Yeah. An unfair comparison to me, yes. Much fuller body. Oh, yeah.
That's good. Again, there's, nice. There's some sweetness, but it's
not too sweet.
It's a,
yeah,
it's like more like robust. Yeah, there's like kind of it's blended out amongst the malts, and it's
very smooth, very creamy.
I think the hops in here are perfectly done.
Yeah,
I mean
yeah.
they're just there. That's about all I could say about it. I mean, it
might be a touch on the light side for Doppelbach, but there's also a little warmer, which might affect that perception. But very good.
Makes sense.
It's got a nice finish, too.
It does.
A little
the carbonation is, like, really fine. And I think it just makes it seem so much creamier.
Is it bottle conditioned or?
It's premium.
So, okay. Good. Yeah. So is green valve.
I mean, isn't...
It's unpasteurized.
Unpasteurized. That's one thing.
Yeah, it still doesn't really tell. We're getting so there.
Maybe.
So it's premium and unpasteurized.
All right. Maybe before tomorrow we'll do our homework and get an answer on that.
There's definitely some yeasties on the bottom.
Are there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so maybe.
I don't know if there are.
No, I just poured some.
You sure? That wasn't the beer yeast?
It could be, but I mean, it looked kind of cloudy when I poured it into my beer. There wasn't much left, though.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah, no, I dig it. Yeah.
Well done, Viking.
See, whereas Line and Kugel was light, and I feel like I would have drank it too fast. I feel like this beer you could drink pretty reasonably, but it seems like a nice one to split.
Nice sipper, yeah.
Well, I would take a full.
Really?
Yeah.
I could definitely take a 12 ounces of this. It'd be very enjoyable.
I just feel like I want to enjoy it. Yeah, all of it.
Yeah. I feel because it has a fuller body and the way the sweetness is in there. And it has a really good aftertaste that kind of sits with you for a while. It's something I would hold on and kind of sip through.
Sure, slowly. Chug it.
Yeah.
I just feel like it leaves your mouth really moist. I don't know. I don't really know how to explain that. But
the opposite of Saison DuPont?
Yeah.
Which is better when it's not skunked, by the way.
Mm.
We should do a, on the 1 year anniversary of our show, we should do a re-review.
Re-review?
Of Saison DuPont.
Yeah. All right, well, any final thoughts on Viking Invader Premium Doppelbach?
It was nice.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I'll do it again.
Good job, Viking.
Yeah. Thumbs up. I have to ask Jeff how old that was.
Yeah.
All right, so that was Viking Premium Invader Conqueror Thwarter Doppelbach. Something like
just
that.
Invader.
Just Invader?
You added a few more names.
Was it more than that? Oh, something about, wasn't it something about divide and conquer and burn, pillage?
Watch 300.
Eric the Red, something like that? No? Okay. Invader Doppelbach. I was just trying to go with the Viking theme. Don't look at me like that.
Oh.
All right.
Cool.
I can feel your look.
Moving on. You're looking at me. You can see my look.
The radio audience can feel your look. So just to clarify, yes, Viking is sold in 4 packs. According to their website, and I couldn't find an ABV for it either. which, you know, I don't know. I'm sure it's written somewhere. I just couldn't find it.
It varies.
I think it might vary. Yeah, it might be variable based on mood of the yeast, various other things. But so yeah, Viking Brewery, friends of the show, sort of. we met them very briefly at the Grain Taste of the Midwest.
I think we said hello and we got a sound clip.
Yeah. We did get a sound clip. Yeah, and they talked about, you know, they had some crazy beers. They had the, what was it, the pepper one. It was like chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Hot chocolate. Yeah, hot chocolate, and they had a Miad.
Yeah, they had the Miad.
Yeah, which the Miad was pretty good, actually.
The Lime Twist.
They had Lime Twist.
I bet at the end of the day, that Lime Twist was getting a lot of action.
Honestly, yeah, geez, I wish I would have thought of that at 5 o'clock. Lime Twist would have been refreshing after 18 bourbon barrel-aged imperial this and that.
Yeah.
Lime Twist would have been good. Oh, man, didn't think of that. Mm. But no, I didn't try Lime Twist. The Miad was pretty solid. It's a bracket, kind of a honey mead beer hybrid.
I like their setup too. They weren't like, they didn't have tappers. They were like,
they just had a bunch of bottles
on
ice.
Like the party hose kegs.
Yeah.
Or the party keg hoses, and they were filling up pitchers.
Yeah, and they said
they're like Kool-Aid pitchers. They weren't even like beer, but it was just so like,
yeah.
You know, I don't know, like cute or something.
Yeah, it was very awesome. Very small operation.
Yeah.
Like I believe the way they phrased it was like, "Hi, I can't remember his name, so and so, and this is my wife, and we are Viking Brewing Company," yeah. Basically. Like that's two employees basically. But the Doppelbach, what did we think? Good?
I liked it.
It was good.
It was good.
Like I said, it wouldn't be a beer that I would drink whole enough.
I think I would. I liked it. I mean, I even thought...
I don't like Bach that much.
Yeah, you're not a big Bach guy. Yeah, I know.
Like there, you know, there are these other beers around March that seem to be a little better.
Stout.
Stout fan? Oh, I think that's foreshadowing to a future show, but yes.
I don't know. That's just like me. See, I've never been a big Bach guy. You know, the Dane does their Bach month. And
yeah.
Go and get one. And
yeah.
I don't know.
And that's it. I
go down to Nashville and get like a two-hearted, you know?
Yeah. I like the Dane's Bach, and I was actually going to compare. I was kind of thinking about that. This versus their Dominator Doppelbach. Mm. This was much lighter.
Yeah.
Or even something, even this against something like a Spaten-Off Tomato. This is a little on the light side.
Mm-hmm.
And again, maybe we served it a bit warm. It was probably like 50 degrees, 60 degrees. I don't know. It was kind of on the warm side. Anything?
Probably like 45.
Was it? Okay.
No, it was chilled. 45
to 50.
All right. Well,
it was 60. Chilled. Then we warmed it up.
Yeah. But it seemed a bit light, but I did like it. It was very full flavored and tasted really good. Obviously, it was going to be it's kind of an unfair comparison to compare the Leinie's Bach to the Viking Doppelbach, but it was a lot bigger, a lot bolder.
It was really nice. Good. If you like Doppelbachs, you know, I'd recommend it.
Yeah, definitely.
If you like Box, I would recommend it.
Yeah.
And if you like Viking, I would recommend it.
Yes. Yeah. If you like the Minnesota Vikings, if you like pillaging, burning towns. Yeah.
That's a coin toss then. We don't really.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might not even like beer at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
It really doesn't say much about it.
Might be mead. Maybe you should drink the Viking Miad then.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. Huh. I don't know. Any other thoughts?
Nah.
Viking Doppelbach? It was pretty good. Stuff. Yeah.
Good tastings.
I mean, yeah, it was good times. And well, I think it's about all we've got for beer talk today. Any other thoughts? Any other comments, concerns?
Yeah, I got one.
You got one?
You had mentioned Bach month at the Dane.
I did.
How long have they been doing that? Do you know?
I'm not I don't know. I know they've been doing it for some time, and I don't know if it's February, but I think it's like maybe it's like the first Saturday in February they tap them or something, so I'm not sure if they're open yet, but I'm sure you can go to their website and find out about it, but I'm not positive. But yeah, they have a whole thing. I haven't been there, but I've heard about, they like carry a keg down the stairs and it's like a ceremonial tapping of the Bach or something.
Is this something that's done in other places in the country or in Germany? Like, is there like a, you know, like Oktoberfest or that date? Like,
I mean, there are places that have like Bach Fest. I mean, Capital has a Bach Fest out in their beer garden. Right. I think that's later, though. I think it's whenever the Blonde Doppelbach comes out. I think it's when they do that. I don't know. I don't think it's such a seasonal thing. I think places in Munich make Bachs pretty much year round. And I think the seasonal release was more of an American thing, I think. That's sort of what that Brewing Classic Styles implied. And that's sort of what I understood, was a lot of the big breweries, not even just Pabst, but Miller and others, you know, that we think of as making just American light lagers, would do a Bach as a spring seasonal. And then that kind of fell by the wayside as they started doing, you know, variations on the same kind of a light beer, an ice beer, a dry beer, et cetera, et cetera. And sort of refining their just one style. But Yeah, I don't know if it's seasonal in Germany. I don't think it is. I think most of the Munich breweries do it year round, but and a lot of breweries here do it year round. Although, like we said before, New Glarus just dropped their Bock as a year round beer. Maybe they'll bring it back as a February March beer. Mm-hmm. Should pitch that to him. I think that'd be a good idea.
Well, they are bringing a Bock back as a.
They're doing an ice Bock
as a unplugged.
Unplugged this year, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, very cool.
When's the release on that? Do we know?
It's not set yet. I think
that one
is that the first one.
I think it's the last one. The ice barley wine is the first one. Right, I think that one's going to be in like November. The ice Bock, but.
I say the one thing about the Dane Bock month is I remember going last year. It went pretty early, in February, and they were sold out of a lot of them. Or there's.
Yeah, they didn't have. They're out of the Velvet Hammer, I think.
They're out of like two or three, and this was, you know, when's your birthday?
February 10th.
Yeah, the 10th. So.
Yeah, that's weird. They still have the Doppel though.
Yeah,
that's the killer one. It's what I like, and it's pretty heavy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, you're right. I remember that they had, I think because they had the Ice Bock written there, but it was out. Unfortunate. Hopefully, they make more.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But anyway, yeah, Bock. Go out and have some Bock, and hope that spring comes soon. I know that. The groundhog saw his shadow, so 6 more weeks according to him, but maybe if we drink a lot of Bock, spring will come back sooner. Maybe? Mm. Is that how it works?
Something like that,
I think so. I think so. Well, you can check out our blog for pictures of Kyle's shirt, as well as other fun factoids. It's beertalktoday.blogspot.com, and of course we post up the podcasts of the show on there as well as madisonbeerreview.com. And you can also get the podcast on iTunes. Just search for Beer Talk Today. Any other final thoughts, gentlemen?
No.
We should do a poll. Maybe like what's on a poll on the blog? Best Bock, favorite Bock? I don't know if we have enough.
We'll do a Bock poll.
Sure. We'll come up with some kind of Bock poll.
A Bock poll. I like that.
Yeah, look at the blog for a Bock poll. We'll come up with something. flying by the seat of our pants.
We're crafty.